This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And welcome to this edition of Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in again today for Earl Robinson, who's beginning his July 4th holiday just a couple of days early, and we want to wish a happy Independence Day to all of our listeners out there listening to us today. We will take you right up until the 2 o'clock hour, and we are here today to talk sports with you on AM 870 WKAR. The phone numbers to get involved in today's show, and we have not booked any guests, so today's show is for you, the callers. We want to interact with you, and you can do so by calling us up at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Alex is producing today's show. He is on the other side of the glass, and I want to say good afternoon to you.
And good afternoon to you as well, Jeremy.
How's everything on that side of the glass? As hectic as it is over here, you look like you're calm, cool, and you have everything under control.
The reason for that, I'd say, mainly is because the Red Wings have not still made a move yet, as we will talk later today.
Yeah, everybody's been waiting with bated breath to figure out what's going to happen with the Red Wings. We have a little bit of news for those people out there. The Red Wings have made a couple of signings, and they're entry-level deals, so I'm... we're going to kind of just gloss over those, but it's nothing really earth-shattering. We're still waiting for Zach Parise to make a decision, as well as Ryan Suter. And once, Alex, once those two guys make a decision, the floodgates are going to open up on free agency. I mean, we saw some movement in day number one, and then things have kind of stalled out because teams are waiting to see if they're going to get one of those two individuals, how much money they'll have left to stay underneath the cap.
Right, and even if not both, I mean, either of these guys could even go to Pittsburgh or maybe Detroit. They both could be playing together.
There are four or five teams, that, including Detroit and Pittsburgh, who have made bids for both of the quote-unquote top free agents in this year's haul. So, again, I tweeted this earlier today, and if you want to get involved in today's program via Twitter, you can do that as well. I'm at Jeremy Sampson 10. If you want to send us a message on Twitter, we can also read it there. I said today, all these tweets, you know, you read these guys and they're tweeting to tweet. And I said, you know, don't waste my time. My timeline is full enough. When you have some information, send it along. But I don't want to hear that some guy saw a coach in an airport. Mike Babcock was allegedly seen in Minneapolis today. I don't want to hear that. When you have some information and you have a tweet worthy of some news, then send it our way. But until then, you know, just hold off. And that'll make, I think, everybody's life a whole lot easier. This is where, and we can get into this a little bit today, about the new media and how people get their information and how much Twitter and other social media sites play a role in you getting your information. So that is certainly something that we will kind of keep our eyes on today as we continue with this free agency. Other things that we're going to talk about today, of course, Jordan Weber from DeWitt. She is going to London to the Olympic Games. It's been a goal of hers since I met her a little over 4 years ago, and probably since you know, she realized at the tender age of 6 or 7 that might be a possibility for her to be able to do that. So I've got some insight on that story. We'll share that coming up here in a little bit. Again, we're talking some NHL free agency. We'll talk a little Tigers later in the show. One of the Tiger Sluggers is going to be competing in the Home Run Derby next week in Kansas City at the All-Star Game, so we'll tell you all about that. And, of course, take your phone calls today, 355-9527, 355 WKAR, or you can reach us toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We want to go out to those phone lines right now. And John is joining us this afternoon in Holt. Hi, John. How are you?
On their vacation. Do you ever get a vacation?
Very rarely. It's when Tim's on vacation, I'm not. When I'm on vacation, he's not. It's one of those deals.
Okay, that's good. And when I was on vacation, then you cover for him too, right?
Whenever he asks, I so much enjoy coming in and doing this show. It's a little bit shorter than Tim's show that I do,
yeah.
So it's nice and succinct. It's an hour long, no real commercial breaks. We just really get to the topics of the day, so I always try and come in and do this. Of course, I went to school here. We've spent plenty of hours in this studio, so any chance I get it to come back on campus, I try and do it.
Yeah, definitely. I want to talk a little Wimbledon. Do you watch any tennis at all? I was just curious. I know you're a huge soccer fan, but how about tennis?
I am not as much a tennis fan as I am into soccer, and that's going to sound weird after I tell you that my dad was a high school tennis coach. But
really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, but he never pushed me into the sport or getting into it. I mean, I played a little bit as a kid, not competitively.
Okay, did you play tennis?
Well, I play recreationally. I mean, I play for some exercise, but certainly nothing competitive. The old man still, drills the serves by me.
Oh, these guys are amazing, serving 116 miles an hour. I was just watching this morning, man. It's unbelievable.
Well, it looks like what? Serena Williams knocked off the top seed earlier today to get to the semifinals?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. That's amazing. Wow. The finals are this weekend, right? Saturday and Sunday?
Breakfast at Wimbledon on NBC.
I follow the Wimbledon. I follow all the sports. I do kind of like tennis, though. It's something I enjoy watching also. I watch every sport there is, but tennis is kind of fun.
Well, especially when you get to this high level, you know, you're talking about one of the majors and you're down to the semifinals. So, you know, when you're talking about the best four players still left in the tournament, you're going to see some high-level tennis.
So you probably know a lot about the game, though, from having your dad be a coach. I'm sure you know a lot about the technical aspects of the game, too, right?
A little bit. I mean, like I said, I never played competitively, but, yeah, I mean, he showed me enough of the ins and outs.
Sure.
It's kind of like everything else. I say, I know enough about it to make myself dangerous, but that's about it.
It's a hard sport, man. My brother's quite a good tennis player. He played in high school and stuff. So he played for Oklahoma for a little bit. So
it's great for exercise. I mean, it's one of those sports.
It's a hard sport, though. I'll tell you.
It is.
As you're playing against my brother, I appreciate these guys playing at Wimbledon because my brother used to smoke me too, man. I used to be his whipping boy, as they say.
Well, I mean, that happens. But, I mean, it's one of those sports that you can continue to play as you get older. You know, you may shift your focus from singles to doubles, but it's still one of those sports where you can still get out, play as you get a little bit older and still get some of that exercise, get that heart rate going a little bit.
And my buddy from Holt was the excellent tennis coach at Oklahoma. It's Jim Powers. I don't know if you know Jim at all.
I have heard of Jim. I don't know him personally, but yes, I have heard of him.
And we're one of the guys that gets beat up at the Oklahoma games because we sit in the his daughter plays basketball for Holt, and so now we go to the whole Oklahoma games and we just get crucified at those games when Holt's playing Oklahoma.
Well, just as long as you stay out of the visitor section, you'll be all right.
Yeah, his son Joe played basketball for Holt. Do you remember Joe Powers when he played for Holt?
Joe Powers was a very, very good basketball player.
Yeah, so the Oklahoma people were not too fond of Jim or myself. I graduated from Oklahoma, and like I said, Jim's son played for Holt, and he has a daughter that plays girls basketball now for Holt, so he's not really too popular with the Oklahoma people either.
But
I just want to say, the finals will be interesting this weekend. I hope Serena does continue to roll. We'll see what happens. Congratulations again to Jordan Weaver. I think that's basically why I wanted to call. And boy, those gymnasts too, man. It's another amazing sport. I've never tried that. I never want to try that. I think I would definitely need 911 ambulance right by my side there. My daughter's tried it once. She's 6 years old, and I hope she continues at that sport because that's an amazing sport, that gymnastics, man. That's unbelievable what those girls can do.
Well,
and guys, too. I'm not going to take it away from the guys either. But
sure, the strength and athleticism that you see them display, I mean, especially, again, at the highest level, is something to behold, really. I mean, it's you look at the ladies on the uneven bars, and you know what they have to do, especially doing handstands, you know, at that level, for most of them, they make it look so easy. And as you and I both know, it's not that easy.
Yeah, their age too. I mean, 16, 14, yep. 15, it's unbelievable.
No,
and the job, I would say the job that Twistars does too, and the other gymnastics clubs just in this area is phenomenal. I mean, John Gettert, I think he's out there at the Olympic trials in California with Jordan. I mean, that's amazing, that club there. That's where my daughter took her class, and I mean that place is just phenomenal with the young athletes in this area.
Well, I would be surprised if there is not a boom of young ladies, especially in the mid-Michigan area, who start to get into gymnastics a little bit more. I mean, especially those kids that maybe watch the trials or will watch the Olympic Games and can say, hey, you know, somebody is competing at the highest level and she's from my hometown. If she can do it, you know, maybe I can do it too. So I would suspect that it will be a nice boom in the business of gymnastics for kids, especially in this area, having Jordan go to the Olympics.
Yes, I agree. And, I mean, that's great to see somebody from this area make the Olympic team. That's wonderful.
It is.
So, Dre, you have a great show. Have a great 4th of July, and enjoy the time with your family. And hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, John. I always appreciate the phone call. You have a good 4th, too. That's John and Holt joining us for a couple minutes this afternoon here on Sports Talk on AM 870. WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson in for Earl today. We want to remind you of those telephone numbers if you want to join us on today's show. We encourage those phone calls at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. I had the opportunity to talk with Rita Weber, who is Jordan's mom, yesterday, and Jordan flew back into town last night. She is back here in mid-Michigan. She will be in town until the 12th, which ironically is her 17th birthday, and then she will take off to the what they affectionately dub the Caroli Ranch, just outside of Houston, Texas, where all the Olympic female gymnasts will go and gather in their preparation for the London Games, and then they will take off for London after that. The Weber family, and including Jordan, there are 6 members of that family, because of the generosity of many people in this area. There were a couple of, there was a golf outing done and a couple of other fundraisers done by people in the community for the family. And Rita was telling me yesterday that because of the generosity of many people in the mid-Michigan area in donating funds to help the family out with travel expenses, that the entire family, all 5 of them, not including Jordan, because obviously her expenses are paid for, but the other 5 members of the Weber family will all be going to London for the games to share in this once-in-a-lifetime experience. She told me that there's a price tag of the 5 of them going in upwards of $50,000, between $40,000 and $50,000 for the 5 of them to go. So obviously they are very appreciative to all the people in the mid-Michigan community who stepped up and either donated some of their time or maybe even donated some money to help the family be able to go and share this once-in-a-lifetime experience with Jordan. Now, you talk about she's 17 years old, and she's going to go compete in this game. She's going to be 21 when we roll around for Rio. Would there be an opportunity at 21 for her to maybe go again? I would have to say yes if that's, you know, down the road, if that's what she decides to do. At 21, that's that's a little bit older in gymnastics years. I mean, you kind of hit your peak at 16, 17 years old in gymnastics. But there is an opportunity that this could be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, or if Jordan decided to, she may want to try and go again in 4 years. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about Jordan and, again, take your phone calls, talk a little NHL as well. But we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
This year, the 4th falls on a Wednesday, but fear not. We'll bring you your weekly hit of the political junkie a day early. There's lots to talk about, too, from Charlie Rangel's retightened congressional primary to political fallout from the healthcare decision. I'm Neil Conan, political junkie Ken Rudin with guest host John Donvan. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
This is Scott Pohl. Thanks for joining us. The high today, 95, with a heat index up to 99. Partly sunny and maybe some rain and thunderstorms. Partly cloudy and a chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight, the low 72. For Independence Day, mostly sunny. A slight chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high in the low 90s.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I want to thank Scott for toasty weather update. And yes, in case you have not been outside today, it is another scorcher out there. So we invite you to find a way to stay cool. And we hope you are enjoying this edition of Sports Talk right here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson. And we are going to be taking your phone calls up until the 2 o'clock hour at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR or toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Just to finish up a couple of thoughts on Jordan Weber. She told Lauren Evans from WILX-TV, who was in San Jose the entire week following the Olympic trials, that making the Olympic team was the best day of her life. And I guess that kind of goes without saying. It's interesting because her first kind of foray into the national team and kind of, you know, her coming out party was a little over 4 years ago at something called the Tyson America's Cup. And Jordan, that was the first time she was able to compete as a senior, as they call it, in gymnastics. At the time, she was 12 years old, and she ended up winning the competition. And I think that was kind of the first time that people took a look at this young lady and thought, you know, there's a chance that that she could do some special things in the sport of gymnastics. And lo and behold, I went to the Weber's house shortly after she won that championship and sat down and talked to her. And I asked her about the Olympic Games in London and if that was a goal of hers, and she said absolutely. And it's been fun for me to kind of follow this story here over the last 4 years and watch someone achieve what, as she said, is the greatest day of her life, and she's achieving something that she's been working toward and dreaming about for so long. And, you know, I guess those are the kind of stories in sports that we root for. I mean, we have plenty of negative that we talk about, but it's a lot of fun to see a story like this where you have a young lady and you know the sacrifice that she's gone through. You know the hard work that she's had to put in. You know that she trains twice a day and she sandwiches going to high school in between those two things day after day after day. And you see the price that she's paid to not be a quote-unquote natural, normal teenager, and to see all that hard work and dedication pay off has truly been a fun story to watch thus far. And we will continue, of course, to keep tabs on that through the rest of the month and into August as Jordan and the rest of her teammates get ready to compete in the London Olympic Games. Again, she was home last night. She'll be in town until the 12th. And again, ironically, she'll be leaving on her birthday to go join the rest of her teammates in Texas as they get ready to compete for that championship. I had to laugh because Rita was telling the story about how, you know, they saw Jordan after the competition, and it was they kind of brought the parents down to an area, and the athletes had gone, and they had some media obligations that they had to do, and she finally came around, and they hugged, and there were some tears, and I said, you know, was there ever a moment where she kind of looked at you and said, hey, Mom, you know, I did it, you know, I made the Olympic team, and she said there was, and just the kind of the emotion that poured out there was really cool. And then I had to laugh at Rita she was almost more excited because there was a concert put on by Kenny Loggins after the Olympic trials. And she was telling me that, you know, Jordan's dream is to meet Justin Bieber. And they were kind of hoping that after she became the world champion, that we could make this Bieber combination happen somehow. But to this point, those two have not met, to my knowledge. So Rita was telling me that for her to go see Kenny Loggins, that was like Jordan being able to go see Justin Bieber. So I couldn't tell if she was more excited about Kenny Loggins or her daughter making the U.S. Olympic team, but that was a funny story that she shared with me the other day as well. So we want to wish Jordan Weber, obviously, the best of luck as she gets ready now to compete for the United States of America in the London Games coming up again at the end of the month. All right, 355-9527, that's 355-WKAR, right here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR, or you can reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. All right, Alex, let's talk a little NHL free agency, and let's get a little bit deeper into this. Zach Parise is taking his sweet time in making a decision as to where, from all indications, he's going to spend the next 10 to 12 years of his NHL career, because that's kind of how things are going right now, is that, you know, you end up signing these longer-term deals, and once you do become a free agent and you cash in one time, and then you kind of play out the life of that contract, and that's what's certainly going on right now with Zach Parise. There was thoughts early on in this process that he was going to have a chance to play in Detroit, and that now I think is cooling a little bit. I think of the two, if I was kind of reading the tea leaves correctly in reading everything that's going on, I think the defenseman, Ryan Suter, would be probably somebody who would be more likely to come to Detroit than Zach Parise. And what the Red Wings need to do now is try and plug the not one, but two, maybe three holes left by the departure of Nick Lidstrom. Because let's face it, you're not going to just replace a Nick Lidstrom. That doesn't just happen. But getting a player the caliber of Suter would certainly help that.
Sure. And the thing about Suter is that as good as he is and as good as he did play on Nashville, obviously it would be great to have both Parise and Suter together. I mean, that would probably be an ideal situation. But the Red Wings did go ahead and sign Jordan Tootoo. They were teammates over at Nashville, too. So along with Suter, if we get that ideal defenseman, then I think the compliments of Tootoo would do it enough.
Well, and the Tootoo signing really made me scratch my head. And I think there was a quote from the Red Wings, something to the effect from Kenny Holland about, you know, we're kind of going outside of the box here by signing Tootoo. Tootoo is not a skilled forward, okay? He's a mucker, he's a grinder, but he's the guy you love to have on your team and you hate to play against. I mean, he's just one of those agitators who gets under your skin, and with him being in Nashville, Detroit, you know, saw him plenty during the regular season and in the playoffs and in this occasion too. And I think the organization looked at a player like that and the makeup of the Red Wings team as a whole and said, look, we need to get tougher. You know, we have a lot of skilled offensive players and we have some skilled defensive players, but we need to get tougher. And Tootoo is going to bring that toughness now to the forwards especially, and I think that that's one area that Mike Babcock wanted to improve his team in the offseason is to get them tougher.
Yeah, and the thing about that also is that guys like Holmstrom, I mean, these guys, Draper, the guys that traditionally have been those grind line guys now getting a little bit older, a guy like Tootoo, I mean, this is more a restructuring, maybe getting moving in a little bit different direction of what that veteran team has done in the past. And I'm interesting to see, because a year from now, this team is going to look a little bit different, even after this free agency and after this year. I mean, guys like Tootoo, the recent signings that they also have had, I mean, these guys are going to slowly restructure that team.
Well, it's not going to be easy, and you are kind of, you know, making up a little bit of a different atmosphere in that locker room, as you mentioned. I'm just going through some tweets right now. It looks like Zach Parise is back in Minneapolis. He says he has no timetable to make a decision because this decision has been so much harder than he thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And he says, for those people who didn't think he would fly back to Minnesota to announce his decision, he laughed and he said, "This is where I live." I mean, Zach Parise now knows what it's like to be, you know, name your Hollywood actor, because he's been followed around more in the past 2 days, I think, you know, than he ever has been. And he's been somebody who's been a target of the media, and you know, give him credit. He's done interviews with the Canadian television stations and writers throughout the process. And he's been, I think, as honest and upfront as he could be. But the fact of the matter is, I would think that a lot of NHL teams are getting a little frustrated right now because, as I mentioned earlier in the show, NHL free agency can really, it can't really go on until these two, for most teams, can't go on until these two individuals make up their mind. Because if you're, you know, you don't want to jump the gun and go sign two or three other guys and then have Parise call you and say, "Guess what, I want to come," but now you can't fit him under the cap because you've already signed two or three other players. And that's where, you know, many of the NHL teams are right now, is that, you know, they're just unable to make a move until they can figure out whether or not the two highest priced players are going to be on their rosters next year.
Yeah. And I mean, a guy like Rick Nash, I mean, this guy is getting extremely undershadowed during this whole free agency period. I mean, especially with the Devils, they just did sign Brodeur to another 2-year deal. They signed Hedberg, their backup, to another 2-year deal. So if Parise did go back to New Jersey, and I know he's taking a long time with this decision, it's almost comparable to a LeBron. I mean, should we have a Zach Parise decision show here? But aside for that,
only, I mean, if he's going to donate millions to the Boys and Girls Club. Because as much flack as LeBron got for that, and deservedly so, he has donated a lot of money to help the Boys and Girls Club. So I'm not a LeBron hater or lover. I'm just, people often miss the fact that he has donated a lot of money. But I know what you're talking about.
Agreed. Fair enough. And yeah, so basically, as soon as Parise and Suda really decide on their destination, as you said, this is going to keep going for quite a bit.
And I'm anxiously waiting for those floodgates to kind of open, because, as you mentioned, Rick Nash is a perfect example. There are a dozen other players at that caliber who are just below the two most prized free agents. And then once these top two go, then the floodgates can open and the rest of the teams can go out and sign some of these players. And hopefully that will come sooner rather than later, because, again, my Twitter timeline is just filling up with, so-and-so was seen at this airport and by my brother's aunt's cousin's sister's nephew. And but that is, if I can get on my soapbox for a minute, that is a part of the media that we live in today. It's a part of how I handle my job. It's a part of how you, the listeners, handle how you receive information. And Alex, it maybe even affects you more than anybody else, because you are getting into this profession, you're getting into this business, you're a student, but you're learning about it at one of the most difficult and yet exciting times that you can, because I don't want to date myself too much, but it's changed so much since I graduated from Michigan State, and how we go about doing our business is totally different. And I'm sure 15 years from now, those people who are getting into it will say, "Guess what? We're doing it totally different than you did it 15 years ago." And I guess that's to be expected. That's progress. But I would be interested to know kind of how some of your professors, how some of your teachers are educating you guys on social media and how that affects your reporting of news and information.
Sure. And I'm sure along with you as well, I mean, you see all these aunts, sisters, brothers at the airport. It's like, how are you as a WLIX TV guy gonna, you know, cite which sources you're mm-hmm. gonna trust and cite which Twitter followers you're gonna keep? So as long as with the social media upward climbing that we're seeing now, it's going to be hard for any journalism major student or any journalist that already is to really cite where they're going to go and who they're going to follow. And if you say, you know, an improper source, then that even doubts you as people do follow you on Twitter or whatever social media. But in terms of classes, as you were asking, the big thing today that teachers are saying is variety. And the reason for that is as social media is still climbing upward, there are fewer and fewer directions that certain journalism jobs can go. And what I mean by that is that you're now seeing especially with the economy also and with money cuts, there are many positions that used to have multiple different people now getting combined into one, you know, natural position handling a bunch of different duties. And
you have no idea.
Yeah, I should honestly just ask you about that. But for our classes, they're teaching you many different tools and they're asking you to be innovative so that when you do take on all those duties, as I'm sure you do yourself, you're not going to be left out of the dust and you're not going to have a little gut feeling that it may not be the best move for me to, you know, to follow this source or for you to necessarily, you know, take up on a new task. So,
and that's a great thing that they're doing for you guys. And again, it's a complete 180 degree difference than when I graduated 15 years ago.
Right.
I wasn't quite sure when I was coming out, was I going to do print? Was I going to do radio? Was I going to do broadcast? I had some interest in all three. And I was told, you need to pick one. You need to specialize. You can't, you know, you can't dabble in wow. each. You need to pick one. Now, again, it's completely the opposite. They're telling you have to be well-rounded. You first of all, you have to learn how to write because you can't do broadcast or radio if you can't write. So we got to start there.
Yep.
And we have to make sure that you can write. And then once you do that, now you can branch out and now you can do different things. Now we can get you on the radio. Now we can put you in front of a television camera and have you interact and see if you can connect with an audience doing that. I think one of the big things, and I'm happy to hear, Alex, all the things that you said, but one of the biggest words I think I would use would be responsibility. When you're talking about Twitter sources or, you know, seeing things on the internet, it is about being responsible, because the one thing that hasn't changed is that old adage of having two sources. Because, you know, anything, you know, one person can tell you anything. And it's funny because we had an instance like this last night in our newsroom. And we had a phone call, a tip from one individual, and it turned out to be much ado about nothing. But when it's one individual, I mean, you make a phone call, you try and get it confirmed, and until you get that confirmed, you realize that it could be something big or it might not be, but you have to at least try and find a way to get it confirmed. And it happens on a daily basis. And it's good to hear that the professors here at Michigan State, the School of Journalism, College of Communications, Arts and Sciences, are doing a good job with you guys and educating you. And again, you know, I think that one of the best ways that you learn a lot of those skills is by getting out there and getting in the field and actually getting your feet wet a little bit. And, you know, I think we've had lots of interns from Michigan State, and they have certainly done that. All right, looks like we're done with segment number two already. We're going to wrap up today's show, but before we do that, we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR.
Anxiety in its more severe forms can cause paralytic indecisiveness, sweaty armpits, and ruined relationships, but it can also be very, very funny. I'm Neil Conan. Daniel Smith joins guest host John Donvan to talk about his laugh-out-loud memoir of anxiety, Monkey Mind. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A partly sunny day with a chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high in the mid-90s. Our heat index up to 99 today. Partly cloudy tonight, maybe rain and thunderstorms, the low in the low 70s. Mostly sunny for the 4th of July, a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, tomorrow's high 92. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thank you very much, Scott, and welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. In today for Earl Robinson, who's starting his 4th of July vacation just a little bit early, and why not? I hope he's out there enjoying the day today. You know, somebody asked me the other day if Tony Weber, who pitched here at Michigan State, and Jordan were related. And I wasn't sure whether they were or not. I said no, but I guess they are some kind of distant cousins. So for those people who may be wondering, putting that Michigan State connection together a little bit, they are, again, distant cousins with a grandfather and a father, being related. So there is a little bit relation there, but it's not like first cousins or anything like that. Let's talk a little Major League Baseball as we kind of wrap up today's show. And again, if you're interested in calling in, we invite your phone calls here up until 2 o'clock, and you can do so by dialing 355-9527, that's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870, that's 877-WKAR-870. Prince Fielder was asked to be a member of the American League Home Run Derby squad, and he has accepted. Alex, good decision or bad decision?
See, it's tough because a guy like Prince Fielder, who has competed...
Now, you're waffling now. yeah, you're right. You've learned from Earl, whose favorite phrase is what? I don't know. It could go either way. So you can't... You see, you've learned waffling. You can't waffle. Good decision, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes, and okay. My reason for this is because a guy like Prince Fielder, he has competed before in a home run derby. This year, in a new team and in the home run derby, he knows what it takes to really get back in that groove. I'm going to say that he's going to be fine coming out of it, and the reason for that is just off his experience alone.
We've seen it both ways. We've seen it affect guys negatively. And, you know, that would be my only trepidation, is that repetitious swing where you're swinging up and trying to hit fly balls and hit them out. But again, I think it's a fun event for the fans to watch. I don't necessarily like the way that they put it together to have. I just think there's too many swings, too many rounds. It just takes too long. For some, I think there's got to be a way to maybe shorten it from 8 participants to 6 and do 2 rounds, where you have 6 participants, 3 from each league. You have everybody do 1 round, and then you take the top 2. Doesn't matter. American National League, doesn't matter. You take your top 2, and then you put them and let them swing for 10 more outs. That way, there's not that extra round. For me, by the time you get to the third round, a lot of these guys are gassed. They're tired.
Yeah, sure.
And you don't see the performance in the final round that you maybe do in that first or second round. So if I was commish for a day, one of the many things I would change would be to shorten that up, just because it is a little bit long.
Sure, I do see that. That's a fine argument. And what I do want to say is these guys that are coming out with these breakout seasons, you look at a guy like Giancarlo Stanton, you look at a guy like Mike Trumbo, it's going to be interesting to see these guys who, this is their peak year and their first home run derby, and if they really fall off after this derby, I mean, their teams are going to be extremely disappointed.
Well, yes, and you know, we kind of have to remember that this is a long baseball season, and there's been a lot of people who have wanted, I think, to push the panic button on the Tigers, and, you know, I guess rightfully so. They were last at the 500 mark on May 15th. They were 18 wow. and 18 back in the middle of May. That's the last time they were at the 500 mark. I believe they've been a game shy of 500 7 or 8 times since then and have lost every game. Every time that they've had a chance, they've lost. So it's it's just they're a little snake bit. Now, again, they play, in my opinion, the worst division in baseball. They're only 3.5 games out of first place. They're probably going to go to the All-Star break anywhere between 1 and 4 games out of first place, still well within striking distance, and who knows what kind of moves Dave Dombrowski is going to make. You know, Max Scherzer's not going to start tonight. He's got a hamstring injury. I guess they're going to push him back to Friday or maybe even this weekend before he can go. And that Dwayne Bielo will start tonight for the Tigers as they host the Twins again in game 2 of that series. So, again, they need to get healthy against some of the teams in their division who aren't very good, like Minnesota. And they kind of let one get away last night, getting down, you know, 6-1. And it's just been it's been a rough go of it for many fans who thought, like many in the media were talking about, this team on paper should win the division by 20 games. Well, anybody who's been around baseball for more than 5 minutes knows nobody walks in and wins a division by 20 games. It doesn't happen. Frankly, nobody walks in and wins a game by wins a division by 10 games. I mean, that doesn't happen. What I think might irk Tigers fans more than anything else when they look at this team and how it was made up and the expectations from the beginning of the season and where many people thought they would be in the standings at this point is the struggles that they've had and the fact that they're 2 games better in the standings than Kansas City.
Wow.
Just think about that.
Yeah, and the fact that the leader of the AL Central is just a couple games over 500, and you turn to another division in the NL, you look at the Mets division, the Braves division, you look at even the AL East, you look at the Orioles and how they're doing in that tough division. The AL Central is such a lenient opportunity for those AL Central teams to maybe make some sort of a splash, whether it be making, just getting into the playoffs for, you know, just the first round, or even maybe winning the division and maybe luring a couple guys over, such as like the Tigers did last year in free agency.
Well, one of the other big things for Detroit, when you look at just their inability to hit the ball when they pitch it well, and when they do hit it well, their pitching seems to fail them. So mm-hmm. it's been a tough go of it, and they've got to find a way to kind of try and just be more consistent. I mean, I don't think anybody, you know, expects them at this point to really run away with the division. I think we all know that's not going to happen. It's going to be a race now to the finish, but they have to get Doug Fister going. I mean, there's just no reason that he has been as poor as he has this year, in contrast to how well he pitched when he came over from Seattle last year. Again, he was lights out. I mean, he's one of the big reasons that they did run away with that division last year in the second half, is that he came over and made such an immediate impact.
Sure, and there's no reason a guy like that with that impact he had should be 1-6 right now.
No.
And even a guy like Justin Verlander, who only has 8 wins. I mean, this guy was slated to maybe start the All-Star game this year, and personally, as I talked about it on my sports show on the Sports Wrap, I'm not sure if he really deserves that start again, even as being the reigning AL MVP. I mean, you look at his numbers compared to a couple other AL guys. You look at the first-place White Sox, granted, yeah, they're only a couple games over 500, but a guy like Chris Sale, he's got a great ERA. He's pitched phenomenally this year. And then you look at a couple other guys in a couple other divisions. So it's going to be interesting to see not only if they can keep that consistency going forward, but again, look at their injuries. As you said, Jeremy, you've got a guy like Andy Dierks who was playing phenomenal before he was injured. He's going to come back, and then you've got 5 outfielders. How are they going to structure them? I mean, what's your opinion on that, Jeremy?
Well, they're, that's where a lot of the criticism of Jim Leland, I think, comes into play. and you know, the way that he handles the bench more than anything else. But it's you know, he likes to get a lot of the players in there, and he likes to rotate them all in. I like Quentin Berry in left field. I mean, I think he brings you know, a good glove out there, although there was a ball that he could have gotten to last night that he just missed. And I don't think he got a great start, a great jump on getting that ball. But he certainly brings a bat near the top of the lineup. He can steal some bases. You know Austin Jackson's going to patrol center field. And then, you know, right field's going to be a little bit, I think, by committee. And I think Leland's looking for somebody to step up, you know, at the plate, whether that's going to be Bosch or Young or who that's going to be. He's looking for somebody who can just step up and you know, and find a way to be more consistent at the plate. They are getting some good contribution from the top of the order, but the bottom half of the order certainly has not been as consistent, and I think that's something that they're going to need to improve on if they are going to win the division. I still think when push comes to shove, the team's just too talented, although I'm a big believer in show me, don't tell me. The eye test on the Tigers tells me that they're not going to win the division just because, you know, I think they've proven over the first half that, to steal a phrase, they are who they are. You know, they haven't shown us to be a dominant team, and you can't just flip the switch in Major League Baseball. It doesn't work like that. I mean, we've kind of seen what kind of team that they are, and it just goes to show you that money can't buy you championships. I mean, you went out, you got Fielder, you spent a lot of money. I know it's because Martinez got hurt, and if he doesn't get hurt, maybe they don't make that deal. But it's a situation where, for whatever reason, they haven't been able to put all the pieces together. And I think that they will do that, but I still have some trepidation here going into the last half of the season on whether or not eventually they'll be able to get it done. All right, if you want to give us your thoughts on the Tigers or anything else that's going on in your sports world, you can certainly do so here over the last 8 minutes or 7.5 minutes, I guess, of today's show at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR or toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR870. I know many people in the area are have already headed out of town, and they are getting ready to maybe take a long weekend to celebrate the July 4th holiday. And we certainly hope that you have a safe and a cool holiday here in the middle of the week. No holiday for me, because we've got duties on TV all week, and then I will actually be back on the radio again Thursday and Friday, filling in for Tim Stout as well. But I think Earl is back at the end of this week. After tomorrow, there won't be a show, but I think he's back on Thursday and Friday to bring all kinds of sports talk for you here on WKAR. We are still kind of looking at what may happen with some of these top NHL free agents. Again, Zach Parise is the most coveted forward of the group from the New Jersey Devils, and I think a lot of people are questioning at this point, you know, just exactly what is taking so long. At you know, all the proposals were made 2 days ago on July 1st, and as he said last night, he and his brain trust have kind of been mulling over certain things that, you know, whether it be you know, cities to live in or things that he may not have thought of as far as lifestyle. Even, you know, there's one thing to talk about you know, what things are going to be like in the you know, in between the lines, as you will, if you will, on the ice, and what things are going to be like in certain franchises. But there's a whole other thing when you talk about, you know, picking up your family and moving and doing all those sorts of things. So we can kind of continue to wait on what's going to happen with him. But as I mentioned a little bit earlier in today's show, once he signs, and then once Suter signs, I think it will really open the floodgates for the rest of this free agency to kind of open things up. I didn't get a chance to get into it too much, and it's probably too late now, but I always kind of, you know, we talked a little bit about how Alex and other students at Michigan State are kind of learning the journalism trade through this day and age of social media. I'm always interested to hear how fans get their information, because that's changed so much. I mean, you know, even, you know, dealing with what we do, we know that no longer, you know, can you kind of tease people with, you know, coming up, we'll show you highlights of who won the game. 95% of the people already know who won. I mean, the games are readily available on cable or satellite or the internet, so, you know, people don't have to stay up to watch the 11 o'clock news necessarily to see, you know, who won the game. They are getting that at other places. So again, we try and be cognizant of that and not totally, you know, shove highlights and scores down your throats, because we know that there are lots of places to get that. But I always think that's an interesting discussion for fans to kind of clue us in and let us know, you know, who work in the media, how you get your information and where you go to get it. You know, there were obviously with the Obamacare, I think that's another great learning tool for students or people who are getting in to watch how CNN and Fox News jumped the gun a little bit on reporting and what ended up being misreporting, you know, what the findings were from the Supreme Court. And, you know, we talked about responsibility before, and Alex, you mentioned, you know, credibility. And really, that's all we have in this business is credibility. And once you lose that, it's difficult to get it back. So that's why, again, I'm interested to see, you know, how people go about getting their information, because Twitter and 140 characters have really changed everything, more so than Facebook or any of those things. It's just the instantaneous stream of information day after day after day, hour after hour. But I think that might be an interesting topic, and, you know, maybe we could, the next time I come in, we can make more of a show about that and how people today are getting their information. Because I think, you know, as you see from a lot of your students and colleagues, that you get your information maybe even differently than I do. I'm still a little old school. I still have to go down to the mailbox in the morning and pick up my paper. But you know, you can get most of that, if not all of it, online these days, and still most newspapers and other sites are free. So you don't necessarily need the hard copy, but, you know, I'm not quite as old school as Tim or Earl. It's a little dig. They're not here to defend themselves, so I can do that, but I kid because I care. But yeah, I still, you know, kind of have to, I don't necessarily have to sit down with my coffee and my breakfast to read it, but I still kind of like having that hard copy in my hand. So maybe the next time I'm in here, and I don't know when that will be, we can kind of make that more of a show topic, if you will, to talk about how people, sports fans in particular, get their information. I can't believe it, but the hour has flown by. We appreciate those people that did call in today. I guess that would be John. So we'll say thank you to John for calling in today and talking with us. Once again, no decision yet from Zach Parise or Ryan Suter on where they're going. Their futures will be in the National Hockey League, but I'm sure we will find that out here in the next day or so. Alex, excellent job.
Hey, great to be on the show.
On the other side of the glass, keeping us going today. Again, no show tomorrow because of the July 4th holiday, but Earl will be back in the locker room, as he likes to say. back in the hot seat coming up again on Thursday. I'm Jeremy Sampson again from WILX TV. We invite you to join us all week long on TV. But for now, from Michigan State University, this is AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.